And we are now live, Grace.
Hello,
Grace. Hello, Grace. I'm Eric Kosek, and you are?
Hi. We're formal today. Is this formal?
Yeah,
I did not get my formal attire. I didn't know that we were... I got to do hat forward. Do I have to do hat forward?
I mean, no, but I was just...
I do have my World's End hat, though.
Yeah, mine's better. Although it's weird, you know, like, you see where they put World's End? If I wear it regular, World's End on the side. So I have, you center up the wording on hats. So then you wear it like this.
Yeah,
right?
But looking at you straight is a little jarring. So it's nice to be able to just like look at you from the side and then I don't have to take it all in at once.
So what you're saying is I wear it like a normal hat, but walk around with my head turned like this.
That's a little easier. Yeah, that's a little easier.
I'll just do a show one-eyed like this.
Mm-hmm. I like it. I dare you to keep it up.
I can't. I'm dizzy already. All right. We promised last week we were going to fix our intro and do better at not starting the show before the intro. So here, what's in the mug there?
A little bit of decaf coffee.
I'm going with the decaf tea.
Nice.
So we are at World's End Ultra Eve, week of Eve, whatever you want to call it. So we should probably talk about the World's End Ultra Marathon like we know what we're talking about. A certain somebody is racing 100K for the fourth time. We're looking for the dirty dozen here if we can keep you going. And let's talk about all the fun we're going to have. Okay.
Yeah,
I'll be on one end of the fun, which will actually be fun. Like I'm going to have a blast. And you'll be on the fun part.
Type two. I'll be on the type two fun.
Yeah, that. Mm-hmm. So you want to start the show? What are you doing? Writing a book over there? What's going on?
I'm taking notes.
I don't know.
But this is very serious.
Is it about me?
Maybe.
Is it about my looks? What? The hat?
All right. I'll let you know how you rate.
You
by
keep
the end.
Listen. You keep writing my memoir, and I will do the intro. So just listen.
Short
to it.
Fits on this piece of paper.
All right, Grace, listen up.
Okay,
Grace. I don't know if you know this or not, but World's End Ultra Weekend is upon us, and it's going to be a blast. Let's talk about the race and when runners should sit back and cruise, and when to kick. All on episode 116. I'm Eric Idiot Runner Kosek.
And I'm Grace Hot Pants Langheim. Eric is all business in the front of the pack, and I am all about the party in the back.
That's right, business up front and party in the back. Together, we are the Running Mullet.
And we are going to talk about every aspect of running, the podium, to the DNF, and everything in between.
If you are a runner, this show is for you. Now sit back, get out your foam roller, and enjoy the party. I burnt the crap out of my shoulders at that track race, like big blister burn. And it's all healed, but now it's all itchy.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Thanks for that. So two things. We're going to talk about World's End today, which is a race in Pennsylvania. But before we do that, we just have a couple of shout outs. One is for Lauren, who placed third in states for the 3200. Congratulations to Lauren. Huge, huge accomplishment.
Yes. Thank you. It was a big weekend. She had a great 2 days. She ran the mile, the 1600 first on Friday and got 11th, which is very, very good considering she didn't even qualify in the mile distance in the 1600 last year. So we've worked a lot on that. And to be 11th in the state is right where she wants to be. So that's actually like a lot bigger than it sounds. And keep in mind, she's a sophomore, so two more years, so we're good. And then 3200 was more than she could ever even imagine she could run. So her fire is burning like way up here. You can't even see it because it's above my camera, which is really cool at the end of the season. So that's on awesome. To Nationals, which is in New Balance Nationals, which is in Philly in 2 weeks, 3 weeks maybe. And then that'll finally end the season. If that is even a thing, I don't know if it actually ends. Because then she'll start cross country and here we are. So yeah, but thanks.
Fabulous.
What was the second thing?
Second thing, super exciting. Congratulations to Julia and Joe who got married. They got hitched over the weekend.
Yay, that's exciting.
Wow, fans of the show, super awesome people and friends. So I was just excited to see that happened. Love in the trail community.
Yes, very cool. And happy Memorial Day, Grace.
Happy Memorial Day to all those families.
You're stealing what I was going to say. Gosh.
You do it up, you know, all those families who are remembering their loved ones.
Yeah, if you know anybody or a family member that made the ultimate sacrifice,
yeah,
happy Memorial Day. Grace, I have an important thing to ask you.
Okay.
How was your weekend?
My weekend was good. It was good. Yeah, I attempted to use my new little barbecue, charcoal barbecue, which did not go as planned, but I learned a lot, so that was helpful. Went to a car show. I timed at a race for Black Cat Timing. Did a lot of, and I packed. I did a lot of packing.
Nice.
Yeah.
I did a lot of splitting of the wood.
Okay. Super fun.
No, I'm not really a fan. I enjoy it when I'm nice and warm and toasty in the winter, but
yeah,
a lot of time, two full days of splitting wood. But anyway, that's boring stuff. Yeah, dumb. But the weather was beautiful up here for the most part.
Same.
Yeah. Ah, my shoulder. I don't know. Something's eating me or something.
Ah. Well, you go figure that out. We're going to talk about World's End Ultra, right, which is happening this coming weekend. And it is in Pennsylvania. It is kind of, I don't know. I think it's a big deal in Pennsylvania. It's a part of the Triple Crown, the Pennsylvania Triple Crown, which starts with Heiner 50K. The second one is World's End 100K. And then the third one is the Eastern States 100. And that happens in August. So we are on to the second race in the Triple Crown, the World's End 100K. Super tough race. There is also a World's End 50K. So both 50K and 100K. I have had the pleasure of finishing the 50K. I finished in, I think it was 2018. I managed to DNF the 100K, not once, not twice, but three times. And I'm going to try for my fourth. We'll see. I took 3 years off. I was like, I can't DNF this thing anymore. So I took 3 years away. I have not been, I have been to the course, but I have not raced it in quite a few years. And you, sir, have also been up there. You, in 2018, the year that I ran the 50K and fell in love with that course, I believe was the year that you won the 50K. Is that right?
Yeah, 2018 is when I think when I set the course, that I had the course record back then.
Yes, wait, you did.
That was way back when I was youthful and...
yeah, and
I ran the 50K twice and won twice, I think.
Yeah.
And then you, I ran the 100K twice also and finished twice and good, but I felt like that 100K beat me up twice.
Mm-hmm. It's a tough 100K. And I want to add one more thing to your 50K win. You won the 50K and then you, I believe, paced your wife to her 100K win because she won the 100K the same year that you won the 50K. And I think I remember hearing that you paced her for part of it.
I don't know if I paced her or just crewed her that time. I'm not sure. I don't want to take credit for pacing her that time because I'm not sure. Yeah. But yeah, she is experienced on the course. There is I don't know. There's ramblings of her coming back there at some point. And I don't know. I'm not just saying it. I'm not, I can't deny or anything like that. But anyway. So
I think between the two of us, we have, and you know, true to the title of the show, The Running Mullet, which is business in the front and party in the back. This race, especially, you truly understand the business at the front of the pack. And I would say I definitely understand the party in the back of the pack. So we're going to talk about World's End Ultra, and we can talk about it whether you're in the front or the back or anywhere in between. I think we have the experience to cover this one pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, go out way too hard, die midday, consider dropping, but don't, and then walk it in. And I mean, thanks for joining us for the show. It was great to fill you in on what you
guys appreciate did. Your time.
Yeah.
Done. We'll see you next week. See you next week.
Oh, man. So it is the probably it's the hardest 100K in PA for sure, I think.
I think so.
I mean, with all the things, not just elevation gain and not just trail and this and that, but it's technical and the kind of elevation gain wears on you. The descents are steep enough where they pound you. I think she's a good one. So yeah, anybody who is doing it for the first time, whether it's 50K or 100K, whether you're doing it for a triple crown and just surviving through the races, mm-hmm. you should be doing if you're doing triple crown or going for the win and everything or bringing up the rear. It's a challenge no matter how you tackle it.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know. It's a beautiful race. Even if you're, so I spent the last 3 years volunteering and crewing, and it's been a lot of fun. So even for our crews, for pacers, for volunteers, it's just going to be a great, great weekend. And I can't wait.
Yeah. I mean, my face is going to be at the first aid station. So that's motivation to get through that dark period and, you know, dark time of day, not your dark period. Your dark period will come later in the day.
Yes.
The dark morning and then the couple climbs you have, just think you get to see me as you pick up your gummies or banana mm-hmm. or peanut butter and jelly sandwich to take on the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I'll talk like that too while you're getting, oh, you need a little Gatorade.
You need a Gatorade, new sandwich. You need a sandwich.
Gatorade. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. But yeah. So that's what I'll be doing. I might be screaming, I might be yelling, I might have a cowbell. I don't know. But I'll be up there at that first aid station. Don't ask me for help because you should do this on your own.
Mm-hmm. That's not what aid station volunteers are there for. They're not there to help you.
Oh.
Is what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, don't stop. Don't touch me. Don't say hi. I don't even want any hugs this time. Because you know what, Grace? This race, more than anything, you have to remember – aid stations are time suckers.
Yeah.
So get what you need, obviously, from the aid station, and I'll give you a hug. But get out of there as fast as possible because that aid station is sucking your time from you, literally sucking your time.
Agreed.
Spend your time walking out after the aid station, whatever it may be, but don't stand there. Don't sit there. None of them.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And, I was up there a few weekends ago for some training runs, and I really – remembered what makes that race so difficult. Because if you look at the elevation profile, it's not that bad. You look at the elevation profile, especially if you've just done Heiner, and you say, well, that's not as bad as Heiner. And if you ask somebody if it's technical, they'll say, yes, it's very technical. And you might think to yourself, well, I run technical trails all the time. Maybe you live in Maryland, Pennsylvania, New York, where there's lots of technical trails along that Appalachian Trail. But one of the key things I think that makes this course different is, one, you already mentioned it, is the climbs and the descents are steep. So that adds some complexity. And it's really, you take the most technical trail that you know and put it underwater. And because it's either going to be wet or muddy, or even if it's a dry year, everything's covered in moss, and the moss makes everything so slippy. Like, the whole course is wet. Every single year, even if it's a dry year, it's going to be wet, and it's muddy, and there's creek crossings, and your feet are not going to stay dry. And I think I think you hit a rock and you slide a lot, and it makes the course treacherous, and that slows you down. I know it slows me down. So I think that is something to add in with this particular course, is don't be fooled by the elevation profile. Plenty of those descents, you can't catch up on time, and the flats, you can't catch up on time because they are so wet that you're going to be moving slow. I think also because of that, you're paying more attention to your feet. And it means you're not paying attention to things like fueling correctly and hydrating correctly.
I think it's going to be a wet one.
It's so wet.
This week is not supposed to be super dry either way, and that it won't be that quick anyway. But I don't care how wet it is. Y'all are getting, like, it's almost like cheating. The temperatures are cheating. I really don't think you should get up here if you finish, because it's cheating.
I disagree. I was up at the course, and if you experience it, it's so, I can't describe how wet it is. It's a really, 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 really wet course. The only thing that's comparable is back in 2019 when we had the big thunderstorms. I mean, that's how bad this thing, it was, every trail was ankle high water.
Yeah, but what I'm getting at is your temperatures look amazing. So be happy with that.
I am happy with that. I'm saying it evens out. And if you get your buckle, you still deserve it. Boom. So there.
Okay. I'm going to say little wet feet running through slop or 95 degree hot and humid.
I'm saying it's slippy. It's slippy.
Nah.
Use
your trail shoes like a big girl. Come on.
Slows you down.
You'll be fine.
Slows you down.
Anyway, I wouldn't plan on anything slowing anybody down. You go out there and you deal with the conditions.
Yeah. Yep. Certainly. The temps do look nice. And that is going to make it a nice day for our volunteers and, for our crew. So that's good.
That's very important, because the number one thing we want to come out of this race is for this guy to be happy throughout the day, be comfortable, not sweaty, not cold, perfectly happy and content while you guys do your little run.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm saying.
Now, it looks like, the weather might change, but the temperatures aren't going to change much. And mid-70s, whew, that's beautiful. So,
yeah. Yep.
Hello. So, I have some stuff at some point.
Okay. I have some stuff, too. Let's hear your stuff.
Keep going with your stuff. We've been doing your stuff. Let's stick with your stuff.
I'm gonna throw out a couple of statistics, because we were talking a little bit about, I think this is the most difficult 100K in Pennsylvania. And again, I think if you look at the elevation profile, it's easy to get fooled by this race, because there are 100Ks with more difficult elevation profiles. But I'm going to throw some stats out there just so that you can, and I say this especially for my back of pack 100K people, like, and for back of pack 50K, do not be fooled by your elevation profile. Oh, it's so pretty, because you're going to end up hanging out at aid stations and you don't have time for that. You don't have time to take a million pictures. You take an extra day of vacation for the pictures, do some hiking before or afterwards. You don't have time. If you were in the back of the pack, you don't have time to chit chat. You don't have time for aid stations. You don't have time for pictures.
Not even a selfie with me.
I mean, before the race, lots of selfies with you. I'm just saying, plan for your stuff before and after, and really try to put your phone away and focus on the race, focus on your feet, not falling. And here's some statistics for you. So last year, the 100K was 116 finishers. So it's, the finish rate is around 60%, I believe. I think it's around 60%. I didn't do that calculation, but here's, out of those 116 finishers, 31% of the finishers finished in the last hour. in the last hour. And then 54% finished in the last 2 hours. That's for 100K. This course chews you up. So even further than that, let's look at the top three. The top three people were under 13 hours, and that's it. There was only one person underneath 12 hours. And for 100K, if you're at the front of the pack, that might be a little jarring. You might think, well, maybe they're just not as talented as me. I'm telling you, some talented runners come out to this 100K. They are super fast. And still, 50% of the people finish in the last 2 hours. So if you are a mid-pack runner and you think you're going to finish in 13 hours, you might want to go back and redo your calculations for your crew. So I wanted to throw those statistics out there because I think that's one of the biggest mistakes that I see at this race is I see people in the 50K hanging out at aid stations because they think, oh, I have plenty of time. Next thing you know, they're hustling to get the last part of it done. And for the 100K, I see the same thing. There's a lot of chit chat during the 100K when really you got to stay in it because tons of people get cooked at Brunerdale. That's it.
Numbers or percentages and stuff. You're confusing me.
Not hard to do, but it's still fun.
So, yeah, all that stuff. Run smart, but run efficiently. Mm-hmm. If you feel slow, you can still move. You can still move fast when you're moving slow.
Yeah. There,
if you're walking, walk with a purpose constantly. Mm-hmm. Constantly. There is no time. Every step you take that's with a purpose is saving you 1 second. And it adds up very fast throughout a whole day.
Yeah. And I think there's some other things that can chew up time. I mean, this course gets a little squirrely. Where you're part of the course, you might see runners not too far away from you and they are on a different part of the course. So you really got to pay attention to the flagging, to the signs. I think it's easy. Not that it's not well marked. I'm not saying that, but I think it is easy to just kind of float in your head and float along the trail and not realize that you missed a hard right or a hard left. That does happen on this course because there's so many side trails. It's not like it's not like you're on the same trail the whole time. You know, you're coming on and off that trail. So I think paying attention to those course markings, and don't follow the person in front of you. That happened at Miller Mountain. I saw the left turn. I saw the left turn and I'm like, oh, I'm going to turn left in a minute. And the next thing I know, there's 10 people coming toward me because they all missed the left turn because they all followed each other. And we've all done it. I've done it. But this is one where you don't have time for that. You don't have time to backtrack. Unless you're in the front of the pack.
Correct. Let's see what else. Let's just jump around here. The last 6 miles is important to me. It should be important whether you're a front of the packer, whether you're the last person finishing, but the last 6 miles is flat, which sucks because you want to run and you can't, blah, 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 all that, but it's fast. It's runnable. Keep that in mind. In my opinion, the race is 63, 64 miles, but the hard stuff's only 54, 55 miles, 6 miles. I didn't do math. I'm not good with mathing.
Yeah, we know.
58 miles. So that last section is literally like, rail trail flat. It's not rail trail, but it's flat. Yeah. Downhill.
And it's not rail trail flat. It is rolling flat.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it rolling. It's pancake. You should be running it if you have any legs left.
Yes, everyone should be running it.
Yep.
But it's not a rail trail. So it's definitely not a rail trail. It's rolling flat and it's grassy. So it's horse trails, except for one final descent at the end. And that descent is very technical. So if you're in the back of the pack, I would say like don't, I would say if you're the back of the pack, don't save anything for the end. And you do need to run that section in order to get it done. If you're in the back of the pack, you also, I do like, one of the things that I do like about this race is if you are at the back of the pack, the cut times are such that they kind of let you see almost the entire course. And that's very nice. It's nice to be able to get to Brunerdale. I honestly don't think it's that hard to get to Brunerdale, but it's hard to get past Brunerdale and still finish at the finish if you're riding cut times. So if you're a back-of-pack runner, my recommendation to you is to have a buffer with your cut times for the earlier ones, because I think it's really hard to get faster at the end of that race.
Yeah. Yep. But it, even if you can't run that last 5 or 6 miles, those little legs better be walking as faster than they've walked that day.
Yeah. It's, and I think you got to know what you're capable of. Like, Laura, Laura Lidecker, her power walk is ridiculously fast. She can power walk a 12-minute mile. My power walk is very slow, and I know that. And so I know I'm not going to be able to rely on power walking. I have to be able, I have to run that last section if I make it that far.
Yep. Move efficiently in the morning. I would say, I mean, the weather isn't that horrible. If it was going to be super hot, I would tell people to consider taking advantage of the cold morning hours, knowing that you're going to purposefully back off midday and not let the sun and heat destroy you. But
yeah,
pretty much for this weekend, it's going to be, try to maintain consistency throughout, I would say.
Yeah, and I think, well, I do think for the back of the pack, for the 100K, taking advantage of those earlier hours is helpful because you're hitting High Knob right at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 2-3 o'clock. So you're coming into High Knob. There's a whole lot of vertical gain right before High Knob. And it's tough to get through that section around noon if you're already dragging. So I think fueling really well before that section and hustling before that section, because it's a tough section between Coal Mine and High Knob.
High Knob is a beautiful lookout, was a beautiful aid station. The aid station is now farther on at, and what's it called?
Jackson Flats.
Thank you. It's a little farther, but those two aid stations are traditionally the biggest drops during the race because you're halfway through. Mm-hmm. Traditionally, it's hot in the middle of the day. Traditionally, everybody's legs, no matter how trained you are at that point, are feeling the pain, and you see a lot of carnage there. So, yeah, to get through High Knob, even if you feel like death, is a very big step in the right direction of finishing, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think everybody should continue on at High Knob and even at Jackson Flats. As long as you're hitting your cutoffs, keep going. There's no reason to stop at that point. It is a tough part of the race because of the time of day that it is, but there's no reason to the only reason to quit at this race is because they kick you off the course or you have a bone sticking out or you need to go to an emergency room. You know, it's such a pretty course. You just got to keep rolling because you might feel better later on, you know.
As with most races.
Yeah. Now for the 50K, we haven't talked as much about the 50K, which I think is just such a beautiful course. Super excited for that 50K. Just remember that muddiness, that sloppiness, all that stuff that we're talking about. Don't forget that. And if you've been up to the World's End State Park area recently, it is so wet. Not just that, but every person in the 100K will have gone through the course before you, the front of the pack and the back of the pack. So even if you're in the front of the pack for the 50K, you're still going through slop behind an entire race. So put on your super aggressive tread shoes and just be ready to, you know, your ankles might be a little sore the next day, and that's okay. Might be a little sore.
Yeah. And it is worth noting that there are parts of the course that even when it's wet, it won't be like inches of mud on the whole thing. There's certain climbs that dry out pretty good and hold up pretty well.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the worst case scenario, you have like 99% mud, but you get 1% not mud.
So even if you're in the front of the pack for the fifth.
Whoa, what are you doing?
Whoa.
Don't do that.
It was weird. Sorry.
I heard you. Audio. And it scared me. Yeah. I mean, that's nutrition is basically, you should have that by now if you're trying something.
Yeah.
You're in a problem. But calories, carbs, and sodium, make sure you're in the ranges that you need to be in. If you don't know what those ranges are, you best look them up, and hopefully you've been training around what you should be intaking, because that will lead to you feeling bad a lot quicker than you should if you don't.
Yep. I think you're spot on. You just said it. If you don't know already what you should be doing with nutrition, just do your best. But here's one watch out that I will say I see a lot of. I see a lot of people who will do a great job of practicing their nutrition on their long runs, and they will also get in some decent time with their trekking poles, and they don't often put the two together and do a long run with great nutrition and their trekking poles. And when they get to the course, they forget to eat because they have poles in their hands. So if you have poles in your hands, you got to figure out, how am I still going to eat and drink? Don't forget to do those things. So you got to get really good at putting the poles, you know, whether you tuck them under your arm or whatever that is. Please don't hit people with your poles. If you're going to use your poles from a start line, it's going to be a conga line in the beginning. Even worse now, because there's more people and you hit butternut earlier. So anyway, when it comes to nutrition, that's the one watch out for both the 50K and the 100K. I don't see people often enough putting those two things together in their training. And so when they hit race day, one of them falls off, and it's usually nutrition. So just make sure that if you do have trekking poles, you figure out a method of still getting in your food and your water.
I have the perfect mantra for people that are doing this, that they can say in their head all day long to remind them to not forget to do the things at the aid station. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So they're running along and they look at their hands. They say, hiking sticks, take a licks.
Oh my gosh.
And they can literally just lick the aid station food, but then they don't forget. Hiking sticks, take a licks.
Oh. Like that. Oh boy, this is, please stop. Please don't do that anymore.
Hiking sticks, take a lick.
Don't do that. Stop it. That is just, no.
I need people. That's pretty solid. For me just coming up with that from this guy, that's solid advice.
It's memorable. That is for sure.
If you haven't been practicing like Grace is saying, and I honestly think that is great advice, Grace, because it's something that I think a lot of people wouldn't think of, is it's a pain in the ass, pain in the butt to hydrate and eat if you're constantly using your sticks, which a lot of people will be using them for the whole race. That is a very good point. But when you are that person who hasn't trained, just remember, hiking sticks, take a licks.
Yeah.
See?
We'll work on that.
I think that might be a t-shirt.
It might be. It just might. We'll see how it works out.
Hey, we got a lot of comments from that. So
if comments are the measure of success, then you, sir, are successful.
but that's a good point, though, about the hiking sticks. And it is, of course, made if you enjoy hiking poles, trekking poles, hiking sticks, and taking licks. It is a course that you will do well on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It definitely depends on how comfortable you are. And if you're not comfortable with them, again, you can use them. It's fine. Just please be aware of where all the people are around you and don't hit other people with your poles, because it's, or make it impossible for people to pass you, because it's really annoying when you do that. If it's a conga conga line, I would put them away if it were me, or I would have them in one hand, one side. So that's that.
Yep. Most people, hydration vest is needed. Fill her up.
Yep.
Stay up on your electrolytes. That goes back to nutrition. I think we're gonna. I don't want to go on it over any common sense stuff that everybody knows.
Yeah, I think that's all good stuff. I do have some advice for crew and for pacers. So let's talk about that. And I think that if you have not prepped your crew pacers, if you haven't had that discussion yet, if you're a runner and you're listening in, have a chat with them, with your crew, with your pacers, and give them some advice. So I have advice for crew pacers. One of them, and this, I believe that, I don't think this applies to the 50K. So I believe at the 50K, the only place you can crew is World's End. Is that right? Ben will tell us. So for the 100K, if you have crew, make sure you're going to the correct place and be there early. There's nothing worse than coming through an aid station and your crew isn't there. That's never happened to me because I have great crew. But I see it happen sometimes, and it can be tough to find parking because there's a lot of people out there. Get yourself settled. Be kind to the other crews out there. Say hello to them. Help them out. So that's a little bit of advice for crew. I have more. Do you have something in your head, Eric? It looks kind of empty right now, but I thought I'd give you a shot.
No, everybody, anybody doing this race, I think probably hopefully knows what the crew's doing and how to crew.
Well, one of the things that I see, and I see this a lot with this particular race, is sometimes when you're trying to crew your runner, it's like every time you go back to World's End, if this is your first time going there, everybody knows everybody. Just introduce yourself and you're going to be part of the family. A lot of times I'll go there and I know other runners, I know pacers, I know volunteers. And I've seen, when I'm crewing, I've seen a runner come in and crews from other crews go to say hi to the runner. So the next thing you know, you have that runner's crew person and their pacer and five other crew people are all like crowded around. And if that crew member is not doing great, then everybody wants to help and fix it. And really, especially if your runner is at the back of the pack, you got to be a little bit of a bouncer if you're the crew person, and just politely let people know, you know, hey, I'm taking care of my person. If your crew, let the runner get in and out with their person and kind of let them go on about their way. Even if you know them, even if, you know, you want to say hi, you might reserve that for the finish line, because if that runner's at the back of the pack, they don't have time to give everybody hugs. I say this for me. I know people who are there. I'm going to be running the 100K. I love all of you, but I have to talk to Lacey and Lacey only. And I just don't have time to talk to other people, because if I finish, it's going to be at the very last second. And I need every minute. I need every minute or I'm not going to make it. So I think that's some other advice for crew and for pacers. And for pacers, you know, you don't have to go to every single aid station. You can just go to the one or two that you're pacing at. When you've got two crew people and two pacers, that's four people plus the 12 other people who want to say hi. Yeah, it's too much when you're a backpack runner. And Ben did confirm, Yeah, the aid station, World's End Aid Station, is the only place 50K crews can assist their runners. So that's nice because you're going to be in that one spot. But you really got to focus and make sure that you're still there early. Make sure you're there early for your runner so that they don't pass by. And say thank you to all the volunteers.
Yep, that's a good point.
Yeah. For the crews and volunteers and pacers and runners, everybody out there, if this is your first time up there, if this is your first time, I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. There is a thing that we call pie knob. And here's what happens. You do this either the day before or the day after. So you can do this on Friday. You can do this on Sunday. But you go to the Country Friends Cafe. And hopefully they have enough pie. I don't know if they know this, but we go to the Country Friends Cafe. You get a piece of pie to go, and then you take your crew. If you're running it and you have crew and you have pacers there, and if you're running the 50K, the High Knob is not on the 50K course, and it's beautiful. It's a really cool overlook, and you can drive straight up to it. So you're not going to ruin your race. But get a piece of pie to go. You bring your own fork because they don't have plastic forks, and go up to High Knob and look at the view because it is absolutely beautiful. If you have time the day before or the day after, I will also recommend Angel Falls. Angel Falls is not on the 50K course. It is on the 100K course going into Brunerdale. That's a new feature. And the trail to get there previously was a little I did it, but it wasn't, it was a little sketchy. Now there's new trail over there. It's a lot easier to get to, so you can park at Brunerdale and get to Angel Falls via the Loyal Sock Trail, the new reroute of the Loyal Sock Trail. So I highly recommend, you know, make a weekend of it and truly enjoy yourself up there this weekend. And that's there also, if you've never been up there before, you will not have cell service. You won't have cell service. Just... you may as well turn off your phone because you're not going to be able to contact anybody. There's actually just a couple of places where you can get service. It's very rare. High Knob is one of those places. And then there's, you can kind of go into the towns, those nearby towns, and you might be able to pick up a signal. But while you're in World's End State Park and at all of the crewable aid stations, there's no carriers have any service. So it's kind of nice. You might as well go see some pretty things, including Angel Falls and High Knob, and go get pie.
Yep.
Well, that's a great addition to the conversation, Eric. Thank you for your commentary. I'm so glad, you know, we do this as a team, because yeah. What would I do without you?
Yeah, and that slogan wore me out. Like, it took everything I had. I don't know. I'm good. No, it's all good things. I like pie.
It's good.
Yeah, I've never had it, but I like pie.
Yeah.
I mean, that pie. I've had pie before, to clarify, but I've never had the pie you're speaking of, the one that doesn't have the classic fork.
They have a bunch of kinds. They have lemon meringue. They have chocolate peanut butter.
Can you finger the pie? Is that appropriate? Because they don't have.
Just stop talking. Just don't talk. Shh.
Or do you? Is it meant to, like, you have to go find a fork? That's odd that they give you pie with no fork.
Because you're getting the pie to go, and I don't think they do a lot of to-go orders. That's okay. It's a diner. Like, most people eat there, but I go there, and I've eaten there before too. Their food's good.
It's a diner. They give you pie, but they won't give you a plastic fork with the pie.
They don't have a to-go fork.
Oh, so you would be stealing their metal forks.
Correct. Yeah. Yes. So just bring your own fork. Mm. Don't do anything inappropriate to the pie.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that sounds delicious. What is your favorite pie from there?
Oh, I don't know if I have a favorite yet. Last time I had lemon meringue, though, and it was very good.
Sounds delicious.
I love pie.
Me too. With plastic fork.
Mm-hmm. Or some kind of utensil. You know, you can bring a reusable fork. I usually do that. I'm just saying, bring your own fork. That's all.
I'm just saying cavemen didn't have utensils. They had hands that were tools, and they used the hands as a tool to scoop the meat out of the animal. So, you know what I mean?
So if you're scooping meat out of an animal, yeah, that is an acceptable method, I think. Yeah.
So it looks, I mean, it's going to be a phenomenal weekend. We go over every year at this point. We haven't even ran the race in several years, but we go over for the party. We go over to help out. We go over to pace. We go over to crew and all the things. So it's and volunteer, and it's just fun. The park is beautiful. I look forward to seeing everybody suffer. I'm going to help at the first aid station. Even I don't think I didn't officially sign up, but I'm still going to help. I'm still going to be there yelling at people. And then I'm going to aid station just to cheer and hang out. So nice. That's my plan. Yeah.
I like it. Yeah. I've been going up there. This will be my eighth year going up to World's End. And hopefully this is the year that I get the finish. I put together the best crew and the best plan that I possibly can. I did not intend to have health issues that tanked my fitness level, but hopefully that won't matter. And then I can go back to volunteering and crewing and not run it again. We'll see how it goes.
Yes, if there's ever a year that I thought you could do it, from the bottom of my heart, you can do it. You will do it.
Things look good for this year. I mean, you never know. I could run into a tree branch within the first mile.
Yeah.
I got a laugh out of Becky for that one, I think. Was that Becky?
Yeah.
We have to remind him that did happen, by the way.
It did happen.
Yeah.
A lot of things can happen. So let's not worry. We don't want to think about or talk about that stuff, though. That's bad juju.
Well, you just don't have to believe in the juju. That doesn't matter.
That's right. All right. I think we covered it all, don't you?
I think we did. I think, you know, there's a lot of great advice out there. There's past episodes where we talk probably more basics of the 50K and the 100K. I think that the, you know, Dave put out a very concise, very thorough pre-race video. So you watch that, read the participant guide, make your crew read the participant guide. That's going to tell you most everything that you need to do. The hay's already in the barn as far as that goes. And I think we brought up a couple of tips from our own personal experiences for some little side extra tips. And that's about it. You know, it's about all you can do.
Yep. Get excited. Less is more this week as far as training goes. Don't forget that.
Yeah.
And show up ready to blow up. Yeah.
Right. That's.
I got like four expertise. I got like four t-shirts to make from this one show. I got to figure out how. Do you think I can get a t-shirt made in 4 days?
Probably. Yeah. Probably.
Oh, gosh, I got to do it.
Coaching right. Expertise from Eric right here. Yeah. But it's, I mean, have just enjoy it up there. It's absolutely gorgeous. If it's your first time up there, welcome to the World's End family. You're going to make friends for the rest of your life. At the least, you get to see Eric look ridiculous. I mean, it's just a really good time. It's gorgeous. Love every moment of it. If it's your 10th time up there, if it's your fifth time up there, your second time up there, we'll be happy to see you. And I hope everybody has a great race.
Ditto. All right, wrap it up, Grace. Do all the things.
That's it for this episode. Thanks for joining us on the Running Mullet podcast. We hope that you loved it so much that you feel compelled to like it and to subscribe to the things and to share it with all your friends. And your friends will say, you are just the best friend I've ever met because you shared this lovely podcast with me. Thank you, friend. And so do all of those things because that would be cool. And the algorithms Thank you. And we all bow down to the algorithms now. And so do all that stuff, and especially tune in live every Monday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, even on holidays, to see Eric and myself. And he likes it when people tune in live because it makes his ego feel better. And that's really why we're here.
Yeah.
It's for Eric's ego.
That was a great conclusion to the show, Grace.
Thank you.
Pointing all that important stuff out. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We will see you at World's End, or we will see you next Monday at 7:30.
Yes.
That is it for the show. Mm-hmm. We're about to go off air, but just remember, hiking sticks take a lick.
Stop it. Ew. Goodbye. See everybody this weekend. Lots of hugs and lots of... Have an awesome week, and we'll see you next Monday. Bye.